Don't touch that dial. It's time for the Chrysler Air Temp Program. Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. The makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry, bring you Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. Written by Phil Leslie and starring Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor. Tonight you'll hear again great sounds from not so long ago. Sounds from those golden days when radio was radio and every night a new adventure. So come with us for the next hour as we visit once again with Fibber McGee and the good old days of radio. This year at Air Temp, we're celebrating a mighty important event in air conditioning history, our 40th anniversary. Yes, Air Temp started cooling people way back in 1934. That's when Walter P. Chrysler put the finishing touches on his famous Chrysler building in New York City. And one of those touches was central air conditioning, the first of its kind in a modern skyscraper. Engineered and built by Chrysler. Air Temp's been at it ever since. Cooling everything under the sun. Homes, schools, offices, factories, every kind of building and every kind of room in every kind of climate. And all through the years, from 1934 to 1974, Air Temp has put something into air conditioning nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. It all adds up to the most modern air conditioning. Quiet, efficient, dependable. That's why, despite all the changes 40 years can bring, Air Temp quality is still the finest. Choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. Any minute now, the doorbell will ring at 79 Wistful Vista as Chuck Shaden, that super fan of the good old days of radio, drops in for another round of nostalgia. And here, up to his ears in reminiscence as he thumbs through a stack of old radio magazines, is the head of the household, Fibber McGee.
Boy, look at these pictures. Jack Benny on the cover here. Looks like about 14 years old. Benny was never that young in his entire life. Spike Jones and his band recording to Fuhrer's Face. Boy, good old Spike. He was the wildest band leader in the whole... Come in.
Hi, Mr. McGee. It's me again.
You know something? I could tell that the very minute I saw you, Chuck.
Okay. Hey, where'd you get the magazine?
Found them in the hall closet. Whole flock of old radio magazines from way back.
Oh, great. Let's see one of them.
Yeah.
There ought to be some real history in these babies.
All the hottest news of the 40s. Like it says here, programs reshuffled. Boston Blackie moves from Red Network to the Blue Network.
Boston Blackie moves from Red to Blue? Sounds like they were broadcasting in color even in those days.
Well, remember the Red and Blue Networks? NBC owned both of them, but the government ruled that they could only keep one, so they sold the Blue Network and it became the American Broadcasting Company.
Yeah, sure. Hey, look at this. A picture of Rita Hayworth entertaining the troops. Wow, beautiful girl.
Yeah, every guy in the service had her pin-up picture over his bunk.
That's no bunk, too. Look at this Radio Life from 1943. Francis Langford on the cover. But hey, I didn't come over to read about old radio. I came to listen to it. How about the old Super Heptadyne there? Is it working?
It was last night. I was listening to the Dempsey-Tunney fight again.
Oh, wow, wish I'd been here.
It always comes out the same way, Chuck. I still think Dempsey got a bum count. That sounds okay. What do you want to hear?
Well, we've heard shows from Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah. Let's keep going. Think you can tune in on a Friday for us?
The McGee theory of radio dynamics hasn't failed yet, boy. Those old shows are in here someplace. All I got to do is get them out through the speakers.
I know what. Don't these old magazines have programs listed for the whole week?
They sure do.
Good. Let's check the Friday listings and see what's on.
Oh, that's a good idea. Let me flip through here and... Friday.
Oh, look, there's a picture of the Easy Aces.
Mr. Goodman Ace and Jane, yeah. That was a very funny show. Ah, here we are. Typical Friday lineup in 1943. Let's see. 5:30, Jack Armstrong.
The All-American Boy.
5:45, Tom Mix.
The Tom Mix, Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air.
6 o'clock, Gabriel Heater.
There's good news tonight.
6:30, The Lone Ranger.
Kyle Silver. Hey, now that's really old-time radio. Think you can get The Lone Ranger?
Chuck, if this old 10-tube, totally transistorless Super Heterodyne doesn't have The Lone Ranger in it, then my name isn't Fibber Two-Gun Draw from the Hip Shoot the Gun Out of Their Hand McGee.
with a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty Hiyo Silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fellow. Hail, Silver. Away!
Great character, you know that?
Yep, law and order in the saddle.
Always on the side of justice, strong in the face of danger.
Must have been strong in the seat of the pants, too. If I rode a horse as much as he did, I'd have saddle sores up to my shoulder blades.
The Lone Ranger never killed anybody, you know that?
Yeah, he just shot the guns out of the bad guy's hands. How'd he get the name of the Lone Ranger, anyhow? Wasn't he a Texas Ranger and they got ambushed?
Yeah, by outlaws. All the Rangers were killed but him, and he was wounded and left for dead. But an Indian came along.
Oh, Tonto.
Yeah. Nursed the wounded ranger back to health. He was the only one left. The Lone Ranger.
After considerable searching along the sides of the valley, the tracks of the stolen horses were found. The Lone Ranger and Tonto rode with the Circle F men toward the hideout in the canyon.
Now, Mr. Fawson, that pass ahead seems to lead into a canyon. It's my idea we should divide our forces.
Oh, Silver.
Have a few of the men go with Tonto and me. We'll ride along that ridge at the top of the canyon and see if there's another way out. If there is, we'll move in and help you.
Well, that makes good sense. We'll give you time to reach there, and then we'll go through the pass.
Later, on a low bluff near the pass into the Box Canyon where the outlaws were hiding, Buck, who was standing guard, saw a group of horsemen approaching. He hurriedly ran to his horse and rode to warn the others. Kirk Deal, Red, and Bill were waiting at the open door when he stopped at the cabin.
Kirk, I saw what looks like a posse approaching the pass. We better get the horses and clear out through the back over them before they get here.
Right, there's no time to lose. Let's go.
Within a short time, the crooks were mounted. The stolen prize horses, tied one behind the other, were led through a narrow opening behind the tall brush at the back of the canyon.
They will just make it. That posse hasn't come through the pass yet.
Hey, I'll better ride through first just in case. Won't take but a couple of minutes. You men follow with a string of horses.
A few minutes later, the others were about to follow when Buck was seen backing his horse from the tunnel where it was too narrow to turn around.
Kirk, I got sight of someone out there. In fact, there's several horsemen snooping around beyond that tunnel.
Holy smoke, the posse's coming through the pass.
What will we do? We can't go through the tunnel. We'd be picked off one by one. Take the cover behind the boulders and we'll make a stand.
All right,
let him have it.
The gun battle raged for a short time. One or two men on each side were wounded. Near the outer opening of the tunnel, the Lone Ranger and Tonto heard the shooting in the canyon.
And that shooting seems to be beyond that tunnel. It must lead into the canyon. We'll just not go through it. Hurry.
The Lone Ranger led the others through the low, narrow tunnel. When he stepped out into the canyon, he saw the crooks with their backs to him and the men fighting the ranchmen.
Up there, come in reach. We're behind you.
Some men came through the opening.
All right, got him.
Hold it.
Kirk fell wounded. Buck had already taken a bullet in his gun arm. The remaining two, Red and Bill, thought that they had no chance. The ranch hands were in front of them. The Lone Ranger with his group behind them. They hastily dropped their guns and raised their hands.
Oh, we give up. Don't shoot.
Take their guns, Tonto.
I thunder, mister. We caught them all. Once more, I see my prize horses over there. Oh, if it hadn't been for you and Tonto, though, we'd have never picked up their trail from the valley.
If it hadn't been for your little girl, Diane, Tonto and I might not have been here to help you.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure sorry we were so hasty at your camp.
Diane believed in us, had faith in us. I value the simple faith of a child very highly.
Yes, that's right. If a man can get a child's faith and trust,
Well, I figure he's a darn good hombre.
You have enough men to handle these crooks, Mr. Fawson. Tuttle and I will head south directly from here. Please tell Diane we'll see her again sometime.
I'll tell her, mister. Men, bandage up those crooks in time so as we can take them to town.
All right, Mr. Tuttle. Our horses will be on the narrow opening. Adios, everyone.
Aye. Aye.
Boss, that sure beats all. How in blazes did Diane get to know that masked man and engine?
Well, I reckon she just met him and liked him. And thank heaven she did, or we might have done something we'd always regret.
I sure admired the way she stuck up for those two at their camp.
Yep, so did I. I was mighty proud of my little daughter when I realized what it was all about. And she's going to be mighty proud, too, when I tell her the hombre who gave her that silver bullet is none other than the Lone Ranger.
So the West is made safe again by the masked man and his faithful Indian companion.
I mind one time my Uncle Buckshot McGee. He was my Western uncle.
Yes, you've mentioned him.
He had a faithful Indian companion. Two of them, in fact.
Was your uncle a lawman?
No, he was a toupee salesman.
A toupee salesman?
Yeah. His Indian friends would ride out ahead collecting scalps, you see. And Uncle Buck would come along a week later and sell them toupees. He made a fortune that way.
Sounds like a pretty unsavory character to me. It's a good thing he didn't run into the Lone Ranger.
Uncle Buck would have traded him out of his horse, his mask, and all his silver bullets. I can tell you that much about Uncle Buck.
I just thought of something, Mr. McGee. I'll bet you didn't know this, but I remember the day that the Lone Ranger died.
Oh, come off it. The Lone Ranger never died. Heroes like that don't die, Chuck. You know that.
Listen, I'm a Lone Ranger fan. Have been since I was a little kid. He was my big hero.
Well, every kid's big hero.
And one night, back in the early 40s, I heard my folks talking about the Lone Ranger being killed in an auto accident.
In an auto accident? They didn't even have autos when the
Lone... That's exactly how I felt. I couldn't believe it. How could the Lone Ranger be killed? And what was he doing in an automobile? I was dumbfounded.
Oh, well, what they meant was the actor that was
right.
playing...
Right, an actor by the name of Earl Grazier played the Lone Ranger. He was killed in an auto accident. And so at that moment, there was no Lone Ranger.
Boy, hundreds of thousands of kids were affected by that.
Millions, probably. So anyway, the script writers at WXYZ in Detroit...
I remember WXYZ. That's where the Lone Ranger program came from. And the Green Hornet. And Sergeant Preston.
The writers got frantically busy trying to figure out how to rewrite the scripts and what to do. They couldn't let the Lone Ranger die.
So what'd they do and how'd they do it?
Well, the next night on the radio, we heard that the Lone Ranger was ill. Terribly ill.
Oh, yeah.
So sick, in fact, that he couldn't even speak. And all we heard for a week or more was heavy breathing while Tonto nursed him back to health.
Boy, oh boy, that's writers for you. Always fooling people. They pull a wool over your eyes like a sweater salesman.
Anyhow, one night, we'd heard that he'd recovered, and all of us breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger was riding again, this time with the voice of Brace Beamer.
Oh, yeah, Brace Beamer.
He'd been the narrator on the show up till then.
And Beamer played the role for years, didn't he? That's a real interesting piece of history, Chuck.
I thought so. Gee, Mr. McGee, these old magazines are... Hey, look, here's another masked man.
Masked? Oh, Joseph M. White. The Silver Mask Tenor. He was on way back in the 20s. Here's a brilliant panel of very deep thinkers, Chuck. Look at these pusses.
Lula McConnell, Harry McNutt. It pays to be ignorant.
That was one of the dumbest shows.
That was the whole idea. In reality, it was one of the most tightly scripted shows on radio. It was like a vaudeville routine. What are you getting now, Mr. McGee?
Well, that reminded me of another panel. Guys who used to try to top one another with their jokes.
Oh, yeah. Can you top this?
Yeah.
Peter Donald, Senator Ford.
Too bad they didn't let me be on that panel. I had some great jokes for those guys.
Joe Lurie Jr., Harry Hirschfield. You know, when I was a kid, I used to try to memorize all the jokes so I could tell them at school the next day.
Did you?
Yep. Only thing is, all the kids listened to the show, and everyone knew the punchline before I came to it.
Well, let's try to tune them in now. Get some more material. Then you can go back to school and try again.
Good idea.
Can you top this? Is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in a joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Peter Donald, you get $10. Each of the three wits try to top it with another joke on the same subject. Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more. So you have a chance to win $25 and six boxes of pure white Kirkman Flakes. Laughs are registered on the Kirkman laugh meter in full view of the studio audience, and in all cases, the decision of our judges is final. So, fellas, are you ready to go on the first round?
Ready.
I have to, I suppose.
Well, we hate to force you, Senator, but let's go anyway. This first joke was sent in by William F. Ross of Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and the topic of this particular joke is orator. Orator.
Speaker?
Speaker, yes.
The senator used to be an orator.
So, Peter, I hope you...
I resent that.
Used to. So did the public.
He ever finds out what that means.
Well, so I have a new man in Harshfield's place next week.
Suppose you
I
start
hope the old one.
You're going to need a younger one here if you don't shut up pretty soon.
Pete, I hope you haven't aged too much to get this one out by now. Well, anyway, this is about a lady speaker, a lady speechmaker. She was holding forth on temperance and the evils of dissipation.
She said, now, most men today do not take proper care of themselves. They keep late hours and don't get any sleep. They smoke entirely too much. And all they think of is having a good time and drinking that terrible whiskey. Oh, that whiskey. Now, after all, what good does it do you? Where can you get it? I mean, where is it?
So she's going on this harangue, and all of a sudden she noticed one guy down the third row in the audience. He's listening very, very carefully.
But she said, now, there is a gentleman who looks as if he lives a good life. Yes, you right there. Now, a young man, do you travel the straight and narrow?
And this guy says, yes, I certainly do. He says, it would be just too bad for me if I didn't, Lee. It'd be just too bad.
She said, oh, that's wonderful. You see, that proves my point. You mean, young man, you're afraid of the consequences if you don't follow the straight and narrow.
He says, yeah, you can say that again, lady. I certainly do have to follow the straight and narrow. I'm a tightrope walker.
Well, you walked the rope on that one up to 750 on the Kirkman laugh meter, Pete. Gives our three wits a little bit of latitude. However, Mr. Ross has $10 now automatically. We'll see how much more he gets before the round is over. All three hands up this time. You're sure you're not scratching your ear, Senator?
Why, is it needed?
I don't know from here. Well,
I'm in for a fine night tonight, I can see that.
Let's call on Joe Laurie first, so we make sure.
Well, this is a little throw-in. I always think of this when you talk about orators and speakers. About this fellow on Union Square. He's on a soapbox, and he's talking. He says, we've got to make everything equal. He says, we've got to take the money from the rich and give it to the poor, and everybody should be happy. Everybody should be equal. And he talks and talks, and then everybody walks away. Everybody walks away except one little guy in front. One little guy is standing there. He keeps on talking. He says, we got to make it everybody should be equal. Take from the rich, give to the poor. Everybody should be happy. And the little fellow says, you can't do it. And the speaker looks down and looks at him and says, who's talking to you?
That was 1,000, top of the Kirkman laugh meter. So Mr. Ross still holds his 750, and I think the senator was not scratching his ear. We'll call on him next.
No, I just wanted to say that Joe doesn't know, but things are equal these days. The rich have the ice in summer, and the poor have it in winter. Rich man has a twin six, and the poor man has a six twins. But you know, a good formula for an R, that... is stand up to be seen, speak to be heard, and shut up to be appreciated. Well, there was a small-time politician who was running for some minor office some years ago, and he was a sort of a blatherskite politician, you know, always raving and ranting and platitudes and all that sort of thing. And one time during a campaign speech, he said to his audience, he said, I have fought for my country in every war during my long and illustrious career. I have slept on battlefields with the only blanket the starry canopy of the sky. I have marched across frozen lands and tarred sands. The little guy in the back says, you did enough for your country. You go home and rest. We'll elect your opponent.
Stan, that was right up the top of the Kirkman laugh meter that time with the boom. We have 2 1,000 so far. Harry, what are you going to do about it?
Well, this is the one where the wife was brought to court by her husband. He can't stand her anymore.
She's trying to boss. She's the bossy kind, and finally brings her to court and tells his... Oh, he can't. And the judge says, wait a minute. What goes on here? Why can't your husband get along with you? She says, let me tell my side of the story first. She says, I am not bossy. I'm very kind. I'm very modest. I'm not possessive. I'm very kind. I'm thinking of him all the time. I am not bossy, and I won't have it said that I am bossy. That's my side of the story. Now I'll tell you his side.
Well, one side should do it, Harry. That was 1,000. Top of the Kirkman laugh meter. Since all three of your wits top Mr. Ross is 750, we send Mr. Ross $10 with the compliments of Kirkman and 6 true blue boxes of pure white Kirkman flakes, plus a copy of the brand new Can You Top This Joke book, which is written by our three wits and is now on sale.
Come in.
Hello, pal. Hiya, Chuck.
Hi, Breezy.
Hello, Larry.
What's new in old-time radio?
Oh, we just heard Can You Top This? And before that, we were talking about It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Sorry, fellows, but that's one sentiment I have to disagree with completely.
How come, Breezy?
Not knowing the facts can cause people a lot of needless discomfort.
You learn to live with the problem, Junior.
I was thinking of the facts about air temp room air conditioners.
Oh, now I did it.
Many people don't realize how easy and economical it is to cool virtually any living space with an air temp room air unit.
See what I mean?
So they may not be ready for hot summer weather when it hits.
Oh, piffle.
Air temp room air conditioners can protect families from the discomfort of hot, humid days and muggy, sleepless nights.
No, I guess it don't pay to be ignorant about air conditioning. But what should us wise listeners do?
Well, see your local air temp dealer. He'll show you the 1974 air temp line of room air conditioners. He offers a number of 7.5-amp models that plug in and play without special wiring, and a wide variety of high-efficiency models. Now, this year, he'll also offer you something more, air temp 40th anniversary values.
What kind of values?
Better room air conditioners than the good old days, the only ones with Chrysler engineering.
That means extra care in engineering.
And Chrysler's extra care in engineering gives you extra comfort in your home or place of business.
Nice.
Stop in at your air temp dealer soon. He offers a complete line of air temp room air conditioners, air temp 40th anniversary values, and Chrysler engineering. Three practical reasons to choose Chrysler air temp with confidence. Your local announcer has the address.
In Kansas City, Missouri, your Chrysler air temp dealer is Jack Borings with 6 saving centers in greater Kansas City. In Lamar, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Medlin Frieden Hardware. And in Lewisburg, Kansas, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Windish Refrigeration. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon.
Hey, Breezy.
Yes, pal?
What do you plan to do when they light those 40 candles on the Air Temp anniversary cake?
Blow?
Now you're talking. So long, bud.
Oh, so long, pal. Bye, Chuck.
Which one are you looking at now?
This is from 1934. Look, Jessica Dragonette on the cover. Wasn't she pretty?
Yeah, she was a big singing star for a long time.
She's still singing. Just did a record album a few years back. My gosh, here's a picture of Mert and Marge. Remember them?
Oh, sure I do. Myrtle Vale was Mert and Donna Damerel played Marge. Bet you didn't know that Myrtle Vale was Donna's mother in real life.
Bet you didn't know how they got their sponsor.
No, how?
They went to the Wrigley Gum Company and they promised that if Mr. Wrigley would sponsor them, they'd name the two characters Myrtle Spear and Marge Minter. Get it? Spear Minter?
Oh, yeah, I get it. That Mr. Wrigley must have been the same guy that hired a guy to manage the Chicago Cubs by the name of Charlie Gum.
That's grim.
So is this routine.
Hey, here's a show I never heard of. The Housewives Protective League.
Oh, sure. Molly used to listen to that.
It says, today's program will tell you how to feed a family of four on $18 a week.
Imagine that. $18 these days wouldn't keep a family in toothpicks. Which, if the cost of eating keeps going up, who'll need toothpicks anyhow?
Isn't it murder? Nowadays, a woman can buy $30 worth of groceries and take them all home in her purse.
Some of the women's purses I've seen lately, you could lug a horse home in one.
The way beef prices are, that might not be a bad idea.
Well, this whole inflation thing's just a vicious cycle. That's what this whole thing's of, ish. When a guy has to pay three times as much for his food to a grocer whose rent's been raised twice by a landlord that cost him $40 for a $12 pair of shoes from a shoe man that can't pay enough to buy groceries, then the government ought to, and the gasoline to, what I start out to say in the first place.
It's getting awfully expensive to eat these days. But what are we going to do, quit?
What I'm going to do is get us a couple of root beers out of the icebox here before the prices go up again.
Wait. Get this old radio warmed up first, would you? There's so much to hear, Mr. McGee.
Okay, what do you want next?
Well, the Friday listing here says, see, Breakfast Club in the morning. Here's Ma Perkins, Club Matinee with Ransom Sherman. Little Orphan Annie, Nero Wolf. Hey, Hollywood Hotel. Remember that?
Oh, sure. Luella Parsons was hostess.
Dick Powell was on there. Fred McMurray sometimes. Herbert Marshall. Can you get it?
Ah, there it goes. Doggone this old radio anyhow.
What happened?
Sounds like a loose wire in the boulder holder. Or something on the stackostat to me.
Oh, no.
Ah, it's no big deal. I'll just shorten the wavelength and rewire the Gergen on the Amahamas. That's all. Hand me them pliers, will
you? Here.
Thanks.
How did you ever learn so much about electricity, Mr. McGee?
Oh, shucks, nothing any red American-blooded boy couldn't do. Oh, just picked it up here and there, I guess. Sticking my thumb into empty light sockets, mostly.
Yeah, well, that's one way to learn.
Yeah, and it stays with you, too, believe me. Ah, that's got it.
Well, just look at this book here. This Friday lineup from 1938. City Service Concert, Arthur Godfrey for Barbasol.
Barbasol. Singing Sam was the Barbasol man, Chuck. Everybody knows
that.
Yeah,
later, but the old redhead was pitching Barbasol, too. And look, here's the Lone Ranger listed again. And hey, how about Waltz Time with Frank Munn?
I'm not much for waltzing, Chuck. Getting dipped makes me dizzy.
Oh, hey, here it is. A great show. The First Nighter.
Oh, yeah. Les Tremaine and Barbara Levy. They're great actors, you know, and that was a great show.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter.
Have your tickets ready, please.
Take your seat, Mr. First Nighter.
Campana's Italian Bomb presents the First Nighter program, a copyrighted feature, Coast to Coast. Theater time on the Great White Way, and once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're invited to attend an opening night performance in the little theater off Times Square. There'll be plenty of traffic tonight, so let's get an early start to the theater. Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, up Broadway. Just a moment now before the play begins. I see that the title of this evening's dramatic offering is Love and Gazooza, an original comedy romance by Virginia Safford, co-starring Barbara Luddy and Les Tremaine. The story is pure fiction and does not refer to real people or to actual events. And now before first curtain, let's listen to Eric Segerquist and his famous orchestra. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Scotty, we have a gas.
Now, Dad, don't get excited.
290 in the shade and no shade. You would rent a car and drag me around to see Mexico in the raw?
Well, we can probably get gas at that house.
What house?
See that gate? A big rancho like that would have gasoline.
Look, Emily, we're supposed to be on our way to my oil wells out of the Hotwantepec. And for no good reason, we're miles and miles away in Cholula. There's something fishy about this. Where's that Mexican fellow live?
Why, in Mexico. What Mexican fellow?
Why did he leave New York in such a rush?
He didn't. He left very slowly.
What happened between you and him?
Why, Daddy, I hardly knew him. Just a mere acquaintance. I... Look, Daddy, down the road.
Huh? Well, some Mexican on a horse. Emily, stop digging around under the seat.
I've got to find my compact.
Buenos tardes, amigos.
Buenas tardes, senor.
Emilita. Little Emilita.
Why, Esteban, imagine running into you down here. Esteban, here's Daddy.
Daddy? Oh, that is, Senor Caldwell. Oh, but this is wonderful. To find little Lemonita at the gate of my hacienda.
This big rancho doesn't belong to you.
Oh, but see, see.
Why, imagine that, Daddy.
Imagine.
But how did you get here?
Why, we ran out of gas.
Gasolino?
Uh-huh.
But I have mucho gasolino. Come to my house. I will shower you with gasolino.
Just in the tank, please.
Oh, never. Never have I been so exciting. I leap from my horse.
Oh, isn't he wonderful, Daddy?
I untie my lasso, and springing before the car, I tie it to the cowcatcher.
He's going to tow us there.
Yes, yes, I'm following the action.
Now I leap on to my horse. That will be us. We are ready, no?
Ready.
Bueno. And off we go.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the Little Theater off
That's the closest I ever got to New York, you know that? The Little Theater off Times Square.
Well, actually, you never got very close at all because that program never came from New York.
What do you mean by that?
Look, at this magazine, there's a whole story telling how the first night of broadcast originated in Chicago, then in Hollywood, but never from New York or Times Square.
What? You mean to tell me that Les Tremaine, a guy that I always thought was a fine actor and a very sincere guy, even if I could have played some of them roles better than he did if I had a chance, would mislead me like that? He ought to be ashamed of himself.
Aw, come on. It all came from your imagination, you know that. The radio told you Times Square, but your imagination is what took you there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But there's one thing you don't need imagination for when you're listening to radio.
What's that?
It's a problem they had with the very first set they ever built, Chuck, and they haven't got the bugs out of it yet. No matter what kind of radio you got, and no matter how you tune it, right in the middle of the fun, some guy always comes in and says...
You know, many people still remember the good old days when a dollar was worth every penny. Chrysler Air Temp does.
You see what I mean?
It's him again, Larry Thor.
That guy's harder to shake than a lead tambourine.
Chrysler Air Temp has seen a lot of hot weather come and go since 1934 when they made their first air conditioner.
He shows up in more places than Siamese twins at a nudist convention.
And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, there's one thing that has stood the test of time. Air Temp's dedication to quality in room air conditioning.
Is that a fact?
And today, when you choose Air Temp, you get the only room air conditioner with Chrysler engineering.
That means extra care in engineering.
So visit your Chrysler Air Temp dealer soon. He'll show you Air Temp's complete line of room air conditioners for every cooling need and budget.
I didn't think anybody had a more complete line than old Breezy.
In addition, he'll offer you something special from the good old days. A rib-tickling comedy record of the good old days of radio. It's a $5.95 value featuring comedy highlights from radio's golden age.
Hey, that's right up your alley, Chuck.
Yeah, how can we get one, Mr. McGee?
You can pick up a copy for only a dollar when you stop in at your participating Air Temp dealer.
Who is he? And where is he?
Got a pencil and paper handy? Here's your local announcer with the address.
In Independence, Missouri, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Inner City Appliance at 10200 East Independence Avenue. In South Kansas City, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Riley's House of Television and Appliance at two convenient locations. And in Mission, Kansas, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Davenport Appliance. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon.
You're listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, brought to you by Chrysler Air Temp, thousands of dealers coast to coast. After you put good money in a room air conditioner, what happens if it goes on the bum? With most, after a year, you're on your own. But Chrysler Air Temp backs you up for 5 years. If you're the original purchaser of an Air Temp room air conditioner and a part's defective, all you pay for is labor. Air Temp gives you a free replacement, any part in any machine. If it's Air Temp's fault, Air Temp takes care of it. If the kids bust it up, you pay. Now, how about the expensive stuff? The compressor, the condenser, the evaporator, and all the interconnecting tubing? If any of those are defective, Air Temp not only pays for the part, Air Temp pays for the labor, too. You just bring the air conditioner to an authorized repair shop. The rest is on Air Temp. The 5-year backup. That's confidence. Confidence in something only Air Temp offers in air conditioning. Chrysler Engineering. See the yellow pages for the dealer nearest you. And choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. And now back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
Now we got that guy out of the way. What else you want to hear?
Well, let me look here and see what we got on Friday nights.
Here's a story on Wayne King, the waltz king.
He's still waltzing around today, you know it. Right now, he's got a show on the road.
Here's one on Wendell Hall, the redheaded music maker. Remember him?
Oh, sure. Arthur Tracy, the street singer. Ukulele Ike. I heard all them guys. You probably didn't know this, Chuck, but I had a great singing voice myself at one time when I was younger.
No, I'd like to have heard you. Were you tenor or baritone?
I could sing anything from bass to soprano. I had a bigger range than a hotel kitchen. You've heard of those opera singers that used to show off by singing a real high note to a wine glass and busting the glass.
Oh, yeah. That must have been something to see, all right.
I once hit a high note, about a C or a C+, that shattered four water glasses simultaneously.
I can't believe it.
Well, they believed it at the Bon Ton department store, boy. That's where it happened. Right in the glassware department. Old man McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank's wife, was holding him on a tray looking at him when I just got a sudden urge to sing.
Yeah, yeah.
I stepped up behind her and cut loose with my highest note. She leapt over the showcase and all four glasses shattered when they hit the concrete floor. I was halfway down the escalator by the time the manager... What was that?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern bringing you the 364th edition of the Colgate...
Hey, that's Bill Stern's program. Remember?
All Friday night, sure. The sports newsreel.
Can we listen?
We'd like to pass them along to you. Our guest tonight is the most famous cowboy star in the world, Gene Autry. But before we bring you Gene Autry in person, let's begin with Reel 1. Profile of the 25th of October. Today is the 25th of October, and this is a story that many years ago came to its conclusion on another October the 25th. For many years ago in Wisconsin, there was a little town known as Peshtigo. Peshtigo, Wisconsin had a population of 6,000 people. And October the 8th of 1871, a baseball team from the city of Chicago, Illinois, came to the town of Peshtigo to play a game of baseball. For a few innings, this game was just another ball game. But then, suddenly something happened. For the captain of the Chicago baseball team connected for a long home run that sailed far out over the rival outfielder's head. It was a terrific home run, and it would have won the ball game if that ball hadn't crashed through the window of a barn that was standing at the edge of the baseball field. And when that home run smashed into that barn, the ball knocked over a lighted lantern, which may or may not have been on fire. There are others who say that this barn was already burning due to a nearby forest fire. But regardless of how it started, that fire spread quickly. And in a moment, the whole baseball bleachers were on fire. The baseball game was forgotten as the players of both teams joined in to fight that raging fire. But despite all their efforts, that fire kept on getting greater until it became the most tragic fire in American history. For before that fire was put out, that fire had destroyed the entire town of Peshtigo and had burned to death 1,100 people. After that horrible fire in the city of Peshtigo, the Chicago baseball team returned home. Home to their native Chicago. They were worn out, saddened, and shocked by the horrible Peshtigo tragedy. But when those baseball players got back to their hometown of Chicago, an even greater disaster was awaiting them. For when those Chicago ball players got back home, they found out that their city of Chicago had also been in a tragic fire. A fire that had burned to death 250 people, destroyed 17,000 buildings, and burned down the city of Chicago. That was the famous Chicago fire, which, according to legend, was started when Mrs. O'Leary's cow accidentally kicked over a lantern in a barn. Strange, wasn't it? The two of the most tragic fires in American history, the Peshtigo fire in Wisconsin, which some think was started on a forest fire, and the famous Chicago fire, should both be accidentally started when these two cities' baseball teams were playing each other. But it's even stranger when you realize that both of those fires, though hundreds of miles apart, both of those fires were begun on the very same day at the very same hour. And that's the story. The story of two cities, Chicago and Peshtigo, that were both destroyed by a fire on the very same day. The Chicago fire was discovered when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern. And the Peshtigo fire was discovered when a Chicago baseball player hit a home run that knocked over another lantern. But the strangest part of this story is the fact that while everyone thinks that it was Mrs. O'Leary's cow that did start the Chicago fire, very few people remember that the Chicago baseball player who hit that home run that led to the discovery of the Peshtigo fire was also named O'Leary. His name was Dion O'Leary. And this ball player who discovered the Peshtigo fire was the son of Mrs. O'Leary, who discovered the Chicago fire. Profile of the fires of two cities that were discovered by the same family, so the legends say, on the same day that their baseball teams were to play. Real three.
That's still great listening, isn't it?
Always was. Bill Stern traveled all over the country, broadcasting everything from football to baseball to tennis to hockey.
Plus, those fantastic stories of his. And speaking of fantastic, this old super heterodyne of yours is doing a fantastic job tonight.
Yeah, you bet.
That's an interesting word, super heterodyne, and a long one, too. I'll have to look that up someday and see exactly what it means.
Well, now, if you want to know what a word means, Chuck, all you have to do is break it down into sibilants or sycophants, you know, little pieces.
I know, but...
Now, like a super, that's for superintendent, you see.
Oh.
And het, that means hot, you know, all head up.
Uh-huh.
Roe is a kind of fish eggs, and of course, dine, that means to eat. Thus, super heterodyne, the superintendent eats hot fish eggs. Simple?
Holy smoke. What's that got to do with radio?
I don't know, but ain't that an interesting definition? I think I'll write the dictionary people about that and tell them what I found.
Mr. McGee, did you ever hear of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon?
Hear of him? Huh. I knew him when he was only a corporal.
What was the name of his program?
Name of his program? Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Him and his wonder dog, King.
Nope. That wasn't the name of the show. It wasn't called Sergeant Preston of the Yukon.
It wasn't, eh? Well, what was it called?
I challenge you to guess.
Oh, a game, huh? A Challenge of the Yukon, huh?
That's it.
What's it?
Challenge of the Yukon. That's the real name of the show.
Oh, well, I knew that all the time. Challenge of the Yukon. Yep. Let's challenge this old radio to tune him in.
You can do that.
Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
And King, on your husky!
Gold discovered in the Yukon, a stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush, with Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon.
Jane Carson and his companion were interested listeners as old Joe Findlay talked happily to a group of men in the cafe at Indian Creek.
Yes, sir, luck's finally come my way. Look at that poke of gold, and there's plenty more where that come from.
Sure out in the dough, Joe.
Where did you dig it out, Findlay?
Now I'm not saying. Not right now, anyhow. I'm heading for Selkirk. Got some business to attend to there. I'll do a little celebrating before I go back to McLean. Name the poison, boys.
Hey, Gil. Look at all the gold that old coot has, will you?
Yeah, we sure could use some of it, Kane.
Well, I got to be moving along, fellas. I hear Sergeant Preston's in town for a few days. I want to see him.
Yeah, Sergeant Preston's using the Lewis cabin while he's in Indian Creek, up at the edge of town.
I know where it is. See y'all when I come through here on my way back.
Come on, Gil. Where are we going? I'll tell you when we get outside. Let's go.
All right, and you know where you're.
What's on your mind, King?
We'll go to our place and get the dog team. Then we'll head out the trail to Selkirk a ways. You and I are going to lay in wait for old Finley and get that poke of gold he's carrying. Hey, come on, let's get a move on.
Right.
Joe Finley went directly to the cabin where Sergeant Preston was staying and knocked on the door.
Hi there, Sergeant. Heard you were here in town.
Well, Joe Finley, come in, Joe.
Well, by the Thunder. He always remembers his friends, don't he? How you doing, fella?
Sit down, Joe. Tell me about yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Sergeant.
Didn't you go south of here somewhere to work your claim?
Yeah, sure did, Sergeant. What's more, I made a strike. And a good one at that.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, what makes me feel so good about it is that now I can help that young nephew of mine, Larry Finley, and his wife over in Selkirk. I hear they've been having sort of a hard time of it the last year.
Yes, I know. Larry's claim gave out, and things have been rough for them.
Well, that's all over. Yes, sir. I'm heading for Selkirk as soon as I leave here. Got plenty of gold with me.
I'll be going back there day after tomorrow. If you're still there, I'll see you again.
I'll be there, I reckon. I have to register my claim before somebody finds out where it is.
You haven't mentioned its location to anyone, have you?
No, Sergeant. Old sourdoughs like myself are too cagey for that. Got something here I won't leave in your care, Sergeant.
Come in.
Well, hiya, pal. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Larry. Hi, Junior. What brings you in just as this old radio has a spellbound, which don't make no never mind since you probably have to leave soon anyway, don't you, Junior?
Wait a minute, pal. You should be glad to see me.
How come, Chum?
Because, pal, I have a few hot scoops about Chrysler Air Temp room air conditioners.
Oh, boy, I walked right into that one. You mean you breezed in here just to rap about room air conditioners?
Of course, pal. This summer, when it's hot enough for people to ask if it's hot enough for you, you'll need to do more than flap your jaw to stay cool.
You got a point there, Junior. Why not keep it under your hat?
I couldn't do that, pal. It's Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary. The perfect time for people to plug in a new Air Temp room air unit.
Air Temp makes good room air conditioners, do they?
You bet. And Air Temp has come up with some really cool ideas over the past few summers.
I remember last summer.
Like the quiet, compact sleeper room air conditioner, designed to cool any bedroom beautifully with very little sound. It comes in five models, from 5,000 to 8,000 BTUs.
It got so hot here in Wistful Vista, you could fry eggs on the sidewalk.
Sleeper fits in double hung or slider windows, and it has both two-speed cooling and three-way adjustable airflow. Cool air doesn't hit you head-on. It caresses you gently instead.
Of course, the sanitation department took a dim view of all them eggs sizzling and scorching underfoot.
Fry eggs, indeed. And I just wanted you to know, pal, Air Temp puts something into room air conditioners nobody else can.
And what might that be, Mr. Thor?
Chrysler Engineering, pal. Only Air Temp room air conditioners have it. No wonder we say you can choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence.
Now that I know, can your listeners get more information?
Better yet, they can see the complete Air Temp room air conditioner line for 1974 at their nearest Chrysler Air Temp dealer. Just turn the dial of your radio to the local station.
I'll give it a whirl.
In St. Joseph, your Chrysler Air Temp dealer is Johnston Furnace, and in Chillicothe, your Air Temp dealer is Botts and Ty. See their complete line of Air Temp room air conditioners soon. Why not make a note of these names? That's Johnston Furnace in St. Joseph and Botts and Ty in Chillicothe.
Well, we hate to see you go just as you're warming up to your subject, Breezy. But I and Chuck got more important stuff to do.
Why, anything you say, pal. So long. Bye, Chuck.
This old radio's getting pretty tired, Chuck. About one more of those old shows and it's going to conk out again.
Oh, boy. Keep it warm, will you? I'm looking for something here.
Yeah?
This is a 1934 magazine. And hey, look. You know what Arthur Murray's latest dance craze was that year? The New Yorker.
No, that's too recent for me. Last new dance I learned was the Turkey Trot. Whose picture's that? Oh, Jimmy Durante.
Oh, boy, is he young there.
Yeah, in 1934, we were all young. I remember Jimmy's act way back there, Clayton, Jackson, and Durant.
He had another partner on radio, too, a guy named Thomas Garrison Morfitt.
Thomas Garrison Morfitt?
Better known as Gary Moore.
Oh, my gosh, Gary Moore. Gary Moore was on a show in St. Louis back in the 30s called Mid-Afternoon Madness.
Never heard of that one.
If you lived very far from St. Louis, you couldn't hear it. Do you remember a funny quiz show that was on both radio and TV?
Well, there were a few of them, Mr. McGee.
This one had a guy with a mustache asking a duck to say the secret word. Remember that one?
You bet your life.
Okay, if you remember it, tell me what it is.
You bet your life.
I said if you... Oh, you bet your life.
That's right. With the one, the only...
Groucho. Let's say the secret word.
Tune him in.
That's it.
And here he is, the one, the only...
I didn't know he was running.
Oh, that's me.
Well,
Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples. And if any of them say the secret word, the duck here will come down and pay him $100 in cash. The word tonight is water. Something I have very little contact with.
Groucho, we asked for some engaged couples just before we went on the air tonight.
Oh, how nice.
And just before we went on the air, Miss Dorothy Hildebrand and Mr. Eddie Kretz were selected to be on the show, and here they are. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Well, welcome. Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Miss Dorothy Hildebrand, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Eddie Kretz, a boy and a girl. where are you from, Dorothy?
Los Angeles, family 31.
And what is your hometown, Eddie?
Pomona.
Pomona, huh? What's your nickname, son? I'm sure your pals don't call you Mr. Kretz.
Well,
they wouldn't dare. Kretz means scratch, I think, in German. Our fellow says, well, I started from Kretz when I was a boy. Anyhow, it's a good, noble, German-American name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Well, you're not sure of it, are you?
Well,
what do they call you, Eddie?
Well, I have been called Hot Shoe.
Hot Shoe?
Yeah, me.
You mean you say Hot Shoe and somebody says Gesundheit? Why do they call you Hot Shoe? Are you,
Well, I mean, I'm
pretty lively with the...
They don't like to stay in one place for a long time, I guess.
Oh, you're a rover, in other words.
Rover.
Oh, a vagabond, huh? Song of the road and all that sort of thing, huh? Do you have a pet name, too, Dorothy?
Well, some of my friends call me Frosty.
Frosty.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can overcome that, you know. I understand you're engaged, Hotfoot. When is the fatal day?
Well, I haven't quite made up my mind yet.
That's what you think. Footy, you're living in a fool's paradise. And what about you, Frosty? How far has this engagement progressed?
Well, it depends upon the Army. If he's taken in, why, we'll have to wait till he's out. But if he's rejected, we'll get married right away.
Well, Hotfoot, I'm glad you finally made up your mind.
We'll get back to Fibber and Chuck in just a minute. You know, Chrysler Air Temp's 40th anniversary is more than just another happy occasion. It's the perfect time to remember how fortunate we are in this day and age. Oh, sure, I like the good old days as much as the next person, but then was then and now is now. And while most everything else has changed radically since the good old days, at least one thing has stood the test of time. Air Temp's dedication to quality in room air conditioners. Today, Air Temp puts something into room air conditioners nobody else can. Chrysler Engineering. Take their 1974 line, for example. There's an Air Temp room air conditioner for every budget and cooling need from 5,000 to 33,000 BTUs. See them all now at your nearby Chrysler Air Temp dealer. Right up front, there's the powerful new Imperial 2, available in 13 models. Then there's the compact sleeper for bedroom cooling and the versatile master series for big area cooling. In addition, your Air Temp dealer has a number of 7.5 amp units that plug in and play without special wiring. Units with electric strip heat options and a wide variety of high efficiency units. This season, he also has something more. An Air Temp 40th anniversary offer for everybody who stops in and looks over his 1974 line. It's a rib-tickling comedy record of the good old days of radio. It features great comedy stars and great comedy shows from original broadcasts of the 1940s and 50s. A $5.95 value, it's yours for only a dollar. And it lets you enjoy the humorous highlights of radio's golden age again and again. Remember, see your local Air Temp dealer for a look at his new 1974 line and get our exclusive comedy record, a great Air Temp value from the good old days for only a dollar. Look in the yellow pages under air conditioning and choose Chrysler Air Temp with confidence. And now, let's get back to Fibber McGee and Chuck Shaden at 79 Wistful Vista.
Gee, Mr. McGee, these old radio magazines here are almost as much fun as the shows we've been hearing tonight.
Look, here's one from 1943 with Ralph Edwards on the cover.
Truth or Consequences. Yeah, that was on Saturday.
Right, and so was the National Barn Dance.
And the Hit Parade with Frank Sinatra singing the number one tune in the nation.
Every Saturday night. It was a great radio night, you know.
Hey, listen, how about Saturday mornings? I used to be glued to my radio on Saturday mornings, listening to Let's Pretend and Smiling Ed and the Buster Brown Gang. And
I think we better do this again, Chuck, in a week or so. Lots of good Saturday shows in this old set someplace.
You're the guy who can get them out of there. I'll be back, Mr. McGee.
Good, but there's one thing you'll have to do before you can come back here, Chuck.
What's that?
Go home.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Fibber McGee and the Good Old Days of Radio, presented by the makers of Chrysler Air Temp, air conditioning for the home, for business, and for industry. With Jim Jordan, Chuck Shaden, great voices from radio's golden age, and me, Larry Thor.